dbkmediaservices.com. Listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SBC Sports Talk Podcast. SBC Sports Talk is brought to you by SBCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Sports. And now, here are your hosts, Shane Combs and Bruce Knox. Welcome, SVC fans, and hello from SVC Sports Talk. This is show 157, brought to you as always by Triple Crown Family Fun Center in Chillicothe. I am indeed Bruce Knox, DBK Media Services, and once again, the gentleman right across from me from SVCSportsZone.com, Mr. Shane Combs. We'll be talking about SVC spring sports. That includes baseball, softball, and some boys and girls track. Shane, how are you this evening?
Doing great, Bruce. Should be an exciting show. We have a lot going on.
Well, we're just going to talk about that. Before we get to the feedback, let's talk about the week that was in SVC, as the baseball and softball leagues had some shakeups, and the track teams seem to be picking up the pace a little as well.
Yeah, that's really the case. SVC baseball, we had the Zane Trace, Dina head-to-head battle there, and Zane Trace comes out on top. And, you know, you look at both teams, such great teams, incredible depth. You know, when you look at the Adina team with Corey and Thomas over the years, it's really impressive how some of their young arms like J.D. Blevins, Gunner Free, the bat of Wilburn, and man, there's four or five other bats in that lineup that just seems like there's different people every night. And really what Zane Trace has been able to do is match that depth and come back this year with a really experienced group. Obviously the addition of Mowry really sets their athleticism over the top. Brooks and George on the mound have been tremendous. Mowry even in an enclosure role a little bit at times. But when you look at Dunkel and Wolf and Davis, that lineup's just phenomenal. Not to mention some of the role kids like Doles and Rittenhouse and so forth. That just top to bottom in that lineup with the older kids, even throwing a younger kid like Beam. It's been real impressive what Zane Trace has been able to do. And you know, now they find themselves. We're here on Sunday night recording this, Bruce, and here Zane Trace is with two to play. I need one to share and both to get it out right. So that's obviously exciting. And then not to be outdone, SVC softball. Yeah. They match this week when you look at the Uniota Paint Valley head-to-head matchup. Michaela Newland obviously kind of took that game over in the circle with 13 strikeouts, allowing just the three hits. She shuts out Uniota. She also hits a home run at the plate. And then, you know, later in the week, so that puts Paint Valley back in the mix. And, you know, that also was something Westfall was hoping to see. And then Westfall Paint Valley go head to head, and Westfall gets an early run there off of Newland on Friday night, and they make it stand up 1-0. Brown gets the complete game there, and Newland again was terrific, but this time on the losing end. So here we are, Uniota Westfall 10-2, two to play. I guess we're getting everything we expected out of those. And, you know, we have some seeding going on. We'll talk about later in the show there. And then also, you mentioned track there in the opening. I noticed a lot more of them starting to get involved now. Some of the proms out of the way, you'll see them start to pick up now and really hit the postseason run. I think it's May. I don't have that in front of me. May 9th and 13th at Piketon this year, I believe. Yeah. Our SVC championships just right around the corner.
I had a chance to see some of the SVC teams in action, and I was impressed. They came over the Vinton County Invitational Thursday night, and they kind of cleaned up, as it were.
Yeah, they really did. Those results are on the website. You're right.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we will talk a little bit more about that as well. Fans, of course, I want to talk to you about Triple Crown Family Fun Center, our billboard sponsor. It's located at 1 Nancy Wilson Way in Chillicothe. Great place. We've talked about it time and time again for people of all ages And so for your next party group event, you want to give them a call, 740-773-PLAY. That's 740-773-7529. You'll find them tucked just behind the Hampton Inn off of Bridge Street. And Shane, I'd be doing a disservice again if I didn't talk about Bruce's delectable treat of the week. I keep throwing these hints out there, and so far Shane has not come through. But this week I'm going to go with the steak sub. I just got to have me some good old red meat with cheese, lettuce, tomato, and mayo, and I'm sure it would be very good if I had one of those right now. I could turn my mic off and just let Shane go, and but that's not to be right now anyway. But I'm going to get me one of those along with some of the other things that they have there, including their great Cardo's Pizza. So that's Triple Crown Family Fun Center. Give them a call today and tell them we sent you. While we're paying some bills, Shane, why don't you talk to the fans about C&K Athletic Equipment?
Yeah, absolutely. They're located up in Circleville, Ohio. You want to give them a call, 740-477-9828. Obviously, they are so good at all the baseball, softball stuff, but really they're just an incredible athletic equipment company there across the board. So even your off-season needs there, again, at 740-477-9828, or visit them at cnkathleticequipment.com. Certainly appreciate all that they do.
Sure do. Hey, we had some great feedback we're going to talk about, as always. It's just love the feedback that we've been getting here recently. It just seems like it's rolling in and really good stuff. What's unique about this feedback this week, and what can fans expect to hear as we talk about this week's show?
I guess the word that comes to my mind, Bruce, would be the perspective that we're getting. And, you know, all the feedback is welcome. All the feedback's been a lot of fun. But I think what's been unique about this year's feedback, and again this week, is the perspective that we're getting. You know, and one, think about it, earlier in the year we had a parent really dig deep and give us some good detail. We've had some coaches talk to us. In this case here, we get some perspective this week from another conference. Someone who I know wears a lot of hats. It's been really involved. And then we get some more perspective this week from a longtime SVC fan, and you know, someone who's been an athlete, a parent, super fan, really a student of the conference, someone who's really loved the SVC. So I think the word perspective is what comes to my mind, and what I really appreciate and enjoy about the unique feedback that we continue to receive.
Well, with that, it sounds good. Look forward to it. And fans, I hope you do too. Stay with us. Up next, we will take a look at the email from a listener offering some perspective from outside the Scioto Valley Conference. Welcome back to show 157 of SVC Sports Talk. I am Bruce Knox, and Shane Combs with me. We're talking all kinds of SVC sports, and specifically right now we want to go in and talk about this email that we received from a person who is from outside the conference. And right off, Shane, and make the point that they're not from the SVC, but they do enjoy listening to the show when they get a chance. And they made the point that they wish all conferences had this type of support. So I think that's a good thing, I think.
Well, I certainly appreciate that and say thank you to that. You know, I even read some things on SEO Preps from another conference not involved here that was mentioning that they would like to start something up that could cover them a little bit more. And, you know, when I see those things, I take great pride in that. It's the entire reason the website and the podcast and so forth had been generated. And I should also give a shout out to the Gazette, to WKKJ and the job they do, because again, I know people don't always believe this, but it's the honest truth. We don't look at it as a competitive media source. We don't even look at ourselves as a media source. I look at myself as just someone who's doing a hobby on the internet that, you know, likes to cover the league. I'm a longtime SVC guy and love SVC sports. So, you know, when you get to these times of year and you're looking for records from across the conferences of softball teams and baseball teams, and you do the same thing throughout basketball, and it's hard to find. Mm-hmm. And that's unfortunate in today's time with today's technology. But it is exciting that we have that here in the SVC. So when people who I know really know high school sports well recognize that and compliment that, that's very gratifying. And I say thank you to that.
All right. We do appreciate it. And let's get into the email. I hope I can do this justice by kind of summarizing here. It talks about how this person's conference, this goes back, I think it was last week when we talked about back to the back-to-back schedule for baseball. We talked about how it would affect softball as well. This particular conference adopted that schedule for baseball and softball, and this is their first year for doing so. And they also, just to kind of give you the full disclosure here, they have a Thursday makeup policy. So if you can't play even before that. And so he was talking about what the reaction has been so far from the coaches, the players, and the fan. And he kind of, he threw out there talking about makeup dates do cause a problem, because if you play Friday and then Monday as your schedule, if that's the way it happens to shake out, it doesn't necessarily have the desired effect that so many would think that it does. There's some of the other things coaches say that, you know, if you get beat either by a blowout or a close score, some want to get right back on the field, others don't, because there's different philosophies about that. You know, we can beat them, look at this, but another thing is that you may have had a reason, say a player was out with injury or sickness or ineligible and that kind of thing. He made a point, too, that it sometimes affects attendance. If you win or lose big to a team by a large margin, no one attends the next game, sometimes not even the parents. So that's interesting. And then it talks about how in their league, most teams do charge admission to the next game. And so they don't even hardly cover costs, at least for the cost of the officials and so forth. Let's see. Goes on to say the way our, well, he makes the point, some of the, you may not even get to play, I guess, the powerhouses until the very end, because you've got that 1-2, you know, back-to-back schedule coming.
Which can really influence seeding, sure.
Well, that's exactly right. In this particular thing, he gives an example in their conference of how one of the teams is undefeated right now, but they have yet to play their big rival, and that could really, you know, really affect the outcome. He also made the point about the tournament draw. It'll be final before we even face that opponent. So that's really interesting to see how it kind of has affected their season, I guess, for the entire league over there.
Well, I think what's interesting to me is it was exactly what I was asking for last week. It was something that I was saying on the show that I couldn't really comment on because in 21 years of, in 21 years of coaching, I've never really experienced that. Now, all of the different factors that were going into it made a lot of sense, because I think it ends up contradicting a lot of the reasons that I assume a conference would put this into play. A lot of times if the back-to-back's on a Friday and Monday, mm-hmm. that doesn't even force you to pitch a right. second guy if you don't want to in baseball. Obviously, in softball, the pitching's not even a factor. A couple other things that jump out at me as I was interrupting there is the seeding process. You know, a lot of times you're not even playing a certain team. They mentioned the Thursday makeup, and I think that's interesting. That's not a bad way to do it, but some of these conferences that don't have a makeup date mm-hmm. or a makeup rule, they get mad at the SVC sometimes because no one wants to play the SVC on Tuesday, Thursday, because they feel like they're never going to get a chance to play and they don't get their games in. But I'll say this. It seems like the SVC is far ahead of every other conference almost every year, and you could say it again this year, of here we go into the final week, mm-hmm. and guess what? The SVC is free to play. Right. It's one of those things. We have a Monday, Wednesday left. To my knowledge, there's no SVC game looming out there that has not been played, and And so what it allows you to do is to get these games in, because I know a lot of times we're losing some non-league games this week because people are saying, well, we had to move our conference game to Friday, May 6th. Well, they were saying that a week ago. And I was like, what do you mean you're moving it to Friday, May 6th? It's like April 20th. So it's one of those things that, those are some really interesting debates that administrations can look at in their different things. Here's the one thing in baseball, like look at a higher level. A lot of times you do it by series. Now, I understand in high school that's got to be tweaked a little bit. I almost wonder if there isn't a happy medium here. I kind of like the idea of playing someone early in the year and then again playing them in the second round. I think you see a different team.
Yeah.
A lot of times you're lucky to play a certain team at the right time, and I guess if you would get them back-to-back, and that could be good luck or bad luck. I just wonder, in some of these conferences, this wouldn't quite work for the SVC because we play 14 games and you're only allowed to play 27 total. But let's say you had a smaller conference where you only played, like, say, 10, maybe even 12 conference games. I almost wonder if you couldn't play a home and away back-to-back early and then play a home and away back-to-back late. It would take a lot of the non-league scheduling out, which, again, people might have different opinions on that, good or bad. But I tell you, in terms of getting a conference champion, that would give you a true, true test, wouldn't it? I mean, if you play 10 games in your conference schedule, let's say you have a 16 conference, or I know some of these bigger conferences that have split in the divisions have started to grow, and they've gotten up to 6, 7, 8. But I know there's a couple five or six teams out there, seven teams, where maybe you're only playing 10 or 12 conference games. I think that would be a unique thing if you wanted to kind of look at putting both things into action. I really think it's intriguing too what happens with umpires. Do you have a lot of the same umpires on back-to-back nights with those, or are you able to split those a little bit? I know in our league that's becoming a factor in terms of just finding eight umpires every Monday, Wednesday, Friday just to move around. Different things are coming up, and then when we have our rain dates. So a lot of interesting feedback. Certainly appreciate the email. I look forward to talking to other conferences as we get to the postseason. I get a chance to see some other coaches just to throw some of these things out there, because I'm really intrigued by some of the points that the email made there. And I certainly, as I was reading them, tried to apply it to the SVC and see, you know, kind of what would work, what would not. I don't know that it's that it would be ideal for the SVC, in my opinion. But I'm certainly intrigued by some of the concepts.
They summarize here kind of in the last little bit of the paragraph. It says, in my opinion, it was a reaction from the have-nots against the haves. What has happened? The haves just got stronger because they tend to have one, two, or three even pitchers, and the have-nots are lucky to have one, maybe one and a half. So you really, you know, you're going to pit the number one against one of maybe three or something like that, and then have to go to the number two, and it doesn't in those cases really, you know, have the desired effect. And I didn't do a good job.
That's an interesting point too, Bruce. It really is, because what happens a lot of times is, you heard me talk about in our SVC race, the teams at the top have that great depth.
Yeah.
And that's what separates them anyway. A lot of times, you know, I talk about playing a team on a Monday or Friday compared to a Wednesday, you know, the level of pitcher you may see is interesting. Well, here's the other side of that, though. As the year goes on, depending on where you are in the schedule, there's certain coaches that are trying – it's not that they're not trying to be competitive. They're actually trying to put their kids in the best possible situation to be successful. Mm-hmm. A lot of times what might happen is you might be in a situation where you throw off on a Monday. Let's say you have a young team that's really struggling and you just don't think you can compete with this powerhouse team. Well, you might throw off and you might try to end up throwing your number one on a Wednesday and try to catch someone's two or three. So there's a lot of different dynamics there that go into, and I could see where that's not even a factor at all in softball. Softball people have to be looking around sometimes thinking, you know, what's this? I just saw this. Now, the only thing I can think of in softball, and I'd have to have a softball person tell me this, Bruce, is a lot of times, you know, the first time a really good pitcher sees a hitter, it's probably advantage pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
If I were going to see a Michaela Newland, say, three times on a Monday night and turn back around on a Tuesday or Wednesday and see her again – It's probably a never an enjoyable thing to see Mikayla Newlin or Brooke Blevins in the circle, but it's one of those things. If I'm going to see see one of those two outstanding athletes on back-to-back nights, maybe able to pick up something or at least be a little bit more comfortable on that second night. Yeah, I don't know. Those are all things that were kind of crossing my mind. I thought I would throw out there. What a great email and some really good discussion points there that really not just for our SVC Sports Talk, but really just for some lunchrooms all over the Southeast District as coaches and, you know, fans. You know, I'm sure it sounds like they turn us on a lot of times throughout the morning or at the lunch hour there.
Yeah, and I don't know that I did justice here to the point that, you know, some of these things, not necessarily facing a different pitcher, but some of these other things where it affects the attendance at the game, like you play a powerhouse one night and they beat you badly, and the second night, you know, some of the parents won't even show up, that kind of thing. So then you've got the attendance problem, you've got the economic issue if you're a charging.
And that's interesting because, to my knowledge, there's no SVC school that charges in the spring. Okay. I know there for a while a couple did, and to be honest, the feedback from some of the parents was ugly.
Yeah.
I mean, it was again, because it's an expectation thing. You know, if you're a conference that, you know, does it for a long time over and over and over, people go. But a lot of times, you know, I can't speak for the ADs. Some ADs will tell you, our facilities don't really, you know,
warrant
set up for it or whatever, whatever. But it's, you know, that's something in the SVC that we don't really have. So that's not really a factor.
Okay. Well, great discussion. And Shane, we've got another email that I think will generate just as much. Fans don't go anywhere. Next up, we look at feedback on last week's college athletic discussion. As you recall, if you were listening to our last show, we talked about making that jump to the next level and how many people did or didn't do that and why and so on and so forth. And so we did get some feedback in the form of another email from a parent of an SVC athlete who is currently playing at the next level. And they gave us some information here about that. First, Shane, they said right out of the gate that you were right. It's important that you pick the right school for your educational needs. That was spot on. So you got that.
I think that is an important thing that as many people that experience it can share with people getting ready to go through these decisions. I think that's really important in a league as close as the SVC. If you have kids or if you have friends or coaches, if you have former players going through these experiences, anything that you can come back and share and really educate our student athletes on some of the things that go into those decisions, that is really important, because at the end of the day, when you get there, you want to get that education, and you gotta be in a situation you feel comfortable in. And if you are, I think that gives you a little stability to take on the incredible challenge of playing a college sport.
Well, and that's exactly what they went into next. They did say it was a big adjustment on so many different aspects of life of an athlete and their family. And they talked first about how most freshmen must prove themselves multiple times before they become mainstays in the lineup or the rotation. And it's hard on a lot of athletes that are always being in the game in high school. And then when they get up to the next level, they may be watching from the bench. So that's a big adjustment.
Well, it really is. I mean, take any sport. I know last week was referring to the spring athlete on why we don't, you know, and I touched on different things there. But, you know, I really think it's that starting over. And a lot of times in high school, depending on what kind of program you're in, you know, when do you come to high school? When do you come into your freshman, sophomore year? Is there a group of juniors that have been really successful at the varsity level that's going to force you to wait a turn? Or are you kind of a program that they're looking at your special class or you as a special athlete to jump right in there? Enrollment probably does play a figure here. That probably happens more at the small school than anything. I don't know. I think that it's really impossible for some to do, if I'm being honest. You know, if you are someone that's used to doing all those things, you just have a hard time going to the next level and paying your dues and doing some of those things. I think for me at the high school level, Bruce, some of my favorite memories as a coach are kids that I get a chance to coach for 3 or 4 years, but the memories end up being more from their freshman or sophomore year. Mm-hmm. I get such gratification of thinking back to how hungry they were as a freshman or sophomore. You know, I can remember certain kids calling me their 8th and 9th grade year and having phone conversations with me as a varsity coach. Coach, what do I need to do to be the best at this? Or what do I need to do it's not that they're still not that hungry as junior seniors. It's just, as the email says, they've kind of grown into a spot and they kind of understand, okay, I'm going to be the starting center fielder, the starting shortstop, or the starting point guard. Hey, I've been the quarterback for 2 years. I'm going to be the quarterback again. Well, now all of a sudden, you know, you might play all the way around on your volleyball team, but you might go to college, and for a lot of different factors that I know you're going to get into later in the email here, that there could just be factors that simply, you know, make you start over, or it might cut your role down to more specific skill that allows you to not be able to play as many minutes in basketball or as many downs in football or all the way around in volleyball or whatever it might be. But I'm just fascinated by that, because I think at the high school level, the way some of these athletes are sought after, you know, in the way we look and the way they kind of, I don't want to use the word entitlement for all of them, because I think there are a lot of kids that work real, real hard to be as good at the sport as they end up being. But, you know, for he or she to go to that next level, boy, is it a starting over period for sure. And that's a learning curve.
Well, they go on then and talk just about that same kind of thing that you just alluded to earlier. The people are bigger and more physical. And the first thing that this one makes a comment about are and it was a volleyball player. So it was talking about the number of 6-foot-plus, you know, players that they encounter. Whereas, you know, in the league in SVC, it might have been, you know, one per game or something like that. Whereas most of them, you know, lining up with the net, are going to be 6 foot or very close.
Yeah, there's no question about that. This is really, really well said. I mean, at the SVC level in high school, I mean, we're dealing with majority Division III schools. Obviously, Uniota, Paint Valley go back and forth with the D2, D4 respectively. But in the SVC, there's really no excuses. If you prepare your body, if you work hard, if you can, in basketball, if you can dribble with both hands.
Yeah.
In volleyball, if you can pass and you're skilled, if you have a great attitude, you're not an idiot, you're a good student, you play hard, you're coachable, all of those things, you're going to be a very productive player on your SVC sports team, no matter what the sport is. I truly believe that. Now, when you start going next level, there's a lot of extra stuff that goes into it. And a lot of times it's nothing any more than just you being tested or being looked at. Hey, are you going to give me a commitment? A lot of times they're testing the young athlete to see, hey, are you in this for a long term? You know, I have some guys here or some girls here that have given me 2-3 years already. Are you willing to compete against them and try to take a job? Here's an analogy that comes to my mind. I think of some of my buddies right now going through student teaching. And I've been trying to help some of my younger coaches and some different things along. Yeah, a lot of times in student teaching, they're doing things that, no, you don't need to do. And the message I try to give to them is, I can't promise you this is going to ever make you a better teacher, but what they're doing to you is they're testing you to almost make sure, are you all in? You know, are you willing to meet all the requirements here and to do this? Because it's crazy hard. It really is. But what they're doing is they're testing their commitment. Well, that analogy fits here. When you go into a college, everybody was all league. Everybody was all district. Several were probably all state.
Yeah.
You know, so what happens is when you go in all of a sudden, yeah, at five eight, you might have just been so athletic you had to play all the way around and hit at the net. But now all of a sudden, there might be someone across from you that's 6 foot that's every bit as athletic in a volleyball analogy. Or in basketball, you might have been that 5'9 point guard that had a lot of intangibles and different things. Well, guess what? There's a 6'3 point guard now that has the same thing. So at the high school level, it probably didn't play as much of a factor. But, you know, I was talking to a lot of people about this Dylan Swingle right now getting recruited heavily at Paint Violet. Ellis Skeen's getting recruited heavily at Southeastern. You know, the things that they have going for them beyond their incredible skill is they have a lot of the size and a lot of the factors that the measurables that people are looking for. You know, a lot of times what happens, I think I've shared this on the show before. I remember Billy Hahn, who's with Bobby Huggins now at West Virginia. He was with Gary Williams there. I remember him telling me one time at basketball camp, he said, Shane, I can miss on a 7-footer and keep my job. You know, if I miss on a 5'9" point guard, I'm fired. Yeah. You know, that's pretty telling, because, you know, that makes a lot of sense. And I would say that's the same, Bruce, wouldn't you, across all of the sports? I mean, a volleyball player brings in a 6'2" middle hitter at a smaller school, or a 6'5" middle hitter at a bigger school, and that girl doesn't work out. Well, you could certainly see why the coach intrigued. All of a sudden, at a high level Division I school, you bring in a 5'11" outside hitter, she better be really, really good. Mm-hmm. They're going to start asking why. So yeah, I was really interested in a lot of the factors there. I think all these experiences that these kids go through, I think kids are amazed all of a sudden. When all of a sudden now they're focused on one sport, they think to themselves, okay, this will be easy. I just get to play one sport all the way, all year round. Well, tell me that when you have, you know, weightlifting at 6 a.m. in the morning, 3-4 days a week. So, I mean, those are all factors, and it's great conversation.
Well, you hit on the next thing that they brought up, was the physical condition of the athletes and how they have to be committed. You know, just exactly what you said. The job starts at 5:30, 6 a.m. Even during the off season, you've got to be committed to building yourself up, you know, whatever your size, the physical attributes that we talked about earlier. But now we've got to talk about conditioning to the level of, you know, college athletes. And that becomes pretty much a full-time job.
Well, it really does. I'll give an SVC name here that a lot of our listeners will be real familiar with. Chris Beard was an outstanding player in the mid-90s at Zane Trace. And, you know, Chris and I have actually become pretty good friends as adults. We joked that in the early 90s, one plays at Zane Trace, one plays at Uniota. We didn't even know we were allowed to be friends then.
Right.
It was a different, you know, before the day of the AAU and the Facebook and Twitter and, hey, let's all be buddies and shake hands and lovey-dovey. we joked that, hey, now that we're adults, we're actually allowed to, like, talk to each other. But I remember him telling me something right out of high school one time. He was playing down at Rio Grande. He talked about how he almost had to play at the college level a year or two just to realize how hard he had to play, especially on the defensive end. And that's fascinating to me, because, I mean, here's a guy that was, man, he's a top five athlete probably in the last 20 years of our league. I mean, he was a tremendous athlete, but he was talking about how the SVC, even though it was a very, very competitive league in terms of athleticism and effort and things like that, it wasn't something that was maybe always on the defensive end, especially forcing him to really play at a college speed or a high level speed. And so I thought that was something really, really intriguing. And I think that's something that every athlete goes through. You know, I went and helped our JV team a little bit over the weekend. And the first thing you notice is the pace of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Then I went and watched junior high team play a little bit today, the pace of the game. You know, it's one of those things where in every sport, I think as you go from junior high to JV to varsity, and then you go up to the college level, and then you even hear college guys as they're getting drafted talk about it's the speed of the game. So I think everything in this email has just been spot on.
Yeah. And we certainly do appreciate the input from both of these great emails that we've had here, Shane. And you can drop us a line at admin1@svcsportzone.com, and we'll get you on and your content on here so we can talk about it. We really do appreciate it. Let's go to Extra Innings.
Yeah, sounds good. Extra Innings, our segment, is the name we give it there. It's always brought to our listeners by Crown Hill Golf Club. That's located U.S. Route 22 West in Williamsport. That's just minutes from 104. Obviously, we're getting closer and closer to the summertime here. A lot of time freed up. We're going to get out on the golf course. Fans, you'll want to just simply give them a call. 740-986-GOLF. That's 740-986-4653. When you ask for Dave or Kevin, tell them SVCSportsZone.com sent you. Bruce, this week on the extra innings, we touch a lot of baseball, softball. We throw in a little bit of track there. So if you're okay with that, let's go ahead with this week's version of extra innings.
One fan wants to know if the outcomes over the last week now make Michaela Newland and Pierce Mowry the two front runners for the SVC POYs.
Well, it certainly makes for interesting discussion. I think the term front runner probably, if I follow the logic of the email, is probably with Zane Trace now out in front. They're looking there. And I think with Michaela Newland, I think most people were looking at her as the best player. But if Uniota were to win an outright title or especially a gold ball, would that maybe push Blevins ahead? So I certainly see the logic in both. I certainly see the Newland possibility there. On the baseball side, it's just hard to say because the Zane Trace depth that I talked about in the opening question, as well as the Adina question, you have about three or four kids on both of those rosters that you could argue who's their best player. I know last year's winner, Anthony McFadden, he throws two shutouts this week. So he strikes out 18 guys in 12 innings. He's up to 414 at the plate, has Paint Valley at 15-6. So he's back in the mix a little bit. But as I said, more than the POY discussion, I think what's going to be interesting, Bruce, is as I repeat myself again this week, when you look at the second team and honorable mention list of SVC baseball at the end of this year, you're going to truly appreciate how deep this league was.
Sunday was the release of sectional seating for high school baseball. What is one headline that jumps out at you for baseball?
Well, I guess if I'm just reading the bracket itself, I would say some realistic runs are certainly that possibility. Now, as always, with some of the technology, I'm hearing some different hiccups and different things. I don't know how the Southeast District will handle that. I assume it's just, you know, it's final, it's in there, it's whatnot. But, you know, for the most part, the seedings were fairly accurate. You're always going to agree to disagree a lot of times when you get different conferences trying to take care of their different teams or whatnot. But, man, when I see realistic runs on the baseball side there, Uniota certainly built with two or three pitchers to take on this kind of format. I know Zane Trace and Adine are in nice spots there. Southeastern's in a good spot. Paint Valley gets to play some home games. Other than the Adina Piketon in the Paint Valley Westfall, I don't think we have a lot of head-to-head where we beat up on each other. So, yeah, there's some realistic opportunities for sure there.
Sticking with the postseason theme, what is a headline for softball?
I would say something along the lines of not so top heavy in postseason. You know, what's happened in the regular season, if you look at the softball standings, I think it's a fair observation to say it's been a very top half, bottom half split. And I think what you get in the postseason theme with Uniota, Westfall, and Paint Valley being Division II, Division III, Division IV, boy, does that make for some fun opportunities for the league. So you don't have to look at it as a top-heavy or a bottom, you know, weak league. And then what happens is Southeastern, Zane Trace, Piketon, they're able to split off into some brackets. Even Huntington got a great bracket. I saw where Adina was the one unfortunate when it got in Westfall's bracket. But, I mean, gosh, I don't know. I mean, who's to say they couldn't get six or seven teams to the district tournament in softball? That's outstanding.
Now that we are about a week from the SVC meet and track, what should the fans be looking for this final week of preparation?
Well, I would look to see Uniota about to make their presence felt. A lot of times what happens with Uniota, I know I've been getting some things into the website this week. You know, Uniota's, they're a team that kind of is off the SVC radar all year. They're someone that you don't hear a lot about. They're not at a lot of local invites, you know. Some will say because they're not invited. Some will say because, again, they just don't think they get pushed enough here locally. So, goodness, I think the last email I received actually this morning, I believe, they were in Louisville, Kentucky yesterday. So, I mean, it's just phenomenal. I think they're about ready to make their presence felt. But then I also think it's important. You've heard me say it all year long. The small school stars, some of the all-league titles, are they able to jump in there and get themselves some all-league titles? And I think what happens when you talk to the small school coaches, A lot of times it's not about the SVC meet for them. It's actually a week later in terms of district championships. So I think those are some of the things to really pay attention to as we head to the following week here at Piketon.
That is our extra innings, and of course, as always, brought to you by Crown Hill Golf Club. Shane, as you were talking there in the fourth question about the SVC and Uniotto in particular being kind of starting to pop up, the names are starting to pop up. I did the PA announcing this past week at the Vinton County Invitational, and I heard a lot of names that I recognized from doing SVC Sports Talk because they were there and they were fast. It just
They really are. And like I said, a lot of times they fly under the radar. You don't get their results. They deal with some different websites that maybe if you're not in the running sports, you're not as familiar with. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times when it becomes SVC time, they can jump up and slap you in the face. And that's not to say there aren't some Jane Trace teams and some different teams that aren't there that can compete with them. It's just that I really look for them to make their presence felt here in a hurry.
Yeah. Fans, we want to remind you that you can contact us and drop your whatever you would like to drop on us at Facebook. Shane has two profiles there, on Twitter at svcsportzone.com. On email, admin1@svcsportzone.com, and of course our phone number, you can call in, leave a voicemail message, 740-569-3254. That is a DBK Media Services voicemail, and we'll take your content, or we'll, you know, if you don't have any problem with it, let us know on the message. We'll actually use your audio message right on the show, play it on here. So, hey, basketball is in the news again. And that's because of Southeastern's Jaron Cox not going to be returning next year. Shane, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, with basketball in the news here again, Bruce, let's go ahead and make this question brought to our fans by C&K Athletic Equipment. Once again here, I'd like to give them a second mention in the show. I think a lot of our baseball, softball people are well aware of what they do. Maybe some basketball people listening in to hear some of the basketball news. Off-season, a great time to get to know them. You can check them out, cnkathleticequipment.com, or give them a call, 740-477-9828. Again, they're located just up the road there, Circleville, Ohio. Yeah, I mean, Jaron not coming back at Southeastern. Jaron obviously been a successful SVC coach, started with the Adena girls job there, did a real nice job. And then here at Southeastern, a lot of the details, not real sure. You hear certain things. I'm certainly not going to go with hearsay here on SVC Sports Talk. I guess what I would look at is, there's certainly high expectations there at Southeastern. They had a great sectional performance this year in the tournament. Did a very good job, and it's one of those things where he moves on, and I'm sure with what he's accomplished, he'll be back on the sidelines here somewhere down the road. So best of luck to him.
Last week, you recall that there were some questions put to us by the fans through email, I believe, and they ask about what job was a good job, what are the characteristics, and so on and so forth. And then I think they went as far as to ask you, were these jobs that were open in the SVC good jobs? After that discussion, is this job at Southeastern what you would consider a good job?
Well, yeah, you're right. We had a great email last week there talking about, I think it was Adena and Westfall at the time that had opened up. And yeah, so that's a really good follow-up, fair question. I'll start by reiterating, in case people didn't hear me last week, saying again, if you're a basketball coach, if you're someone who really wants to coach at the varsity level and you're qualified to and you've worked yourself, there's only 16 varsity jobs in the SVC. And as I said, a lot of times your family situation, your job, your different things really cut those schools down in terms of what you have. So I guess the way I would look at Southeastern is, look, their resources are incredible. I mean, incredible. Their facilities are off the charts. They put great money into their basketball program. You have great resources in terms of assistant coaches. They really take care of their coaching staff there, in terms of some of the things that go into their job description. And again, as we go, if we ever want to get further into some of these discussions, we could probably break down some of the schools. But I'm telling you, I know some behind the scenes things in terms of what they do, and their resources are off the charts. I mean, it's phenomenal. They love them some basketball at Southeastern. Now, so that sounds great. So from that situation, it's a good job. And rarely, if you're at Southeastern 4 or 5 years, rarely because of all those things, are you not going to come across or be able to develop some talent, because, again, they're going to get involved and do some of those things. Now, with all that said, the only thing I would throw out there is it would be a tough place for a young coach to go, because the expectations are nutty and they're not always realistic. Yeah, I just said a second ago, they love them some basketball in Southeastern. Well, they love them some winning basketball. Yeah. So it's one of those things where, you know, if they think in their mind they should be 19-3 and you go 18-4, then you didn't meet the expectation. You know, I mean, it's one of those things. So that's the only thing I would throw out there. But I think that's anywhere. But again, there at Southeastern, you certainly have a lot of good resources. But I do think it would be a job much, much easier for a more experienced coach to walk into and take over.
Okay, good stuff. Let's go to our final segment throughout the season here. We call this our post-game comments, and of course it's brought to you by Crown Hill Golf Club, and you can check out their website at crownhillgolfclub.com, and anytime you visit them, please tell Kevin and Dave that svcsportzone.com sent you. So here we go in this week's post-game segment, and the question, one of the things we didn't get to last week, so we're bringing it back today, putting it on here, and that's junior high baseball. Fans had mentioned to you how much the VA facility is getting involved. So what are your thoughts on young kids playing at the big ballpark?
Well, yeah, we have a bunch of stuff here at the end of the show that I appreciate you working into the agenda, Bruce, because I've done a poor job of not getting them in there. I just, again, the feedback's been tremendous this spring. And I guess with junior high baseball, it kind of all makes sense when you start to break it down. I'll probably sound like I'm biased to baseball, and that's okay. If people disagree, then Bruce gives you the email or phone number. Let us know. But the numbers at the JV, all eight teams in the league have JV. I think our JV team at Paint Valley is on pace to play about 15 to 20 games. And I think a lot of other schools are even on pace to play more than that. And a lot of schools have seventh and eighth grade rosters, which, again, you're talking – you know, obviously you have to have nine. Yeah. Most of them have to have 10, 11, 12 kids. So there's a lot of baseball being played. And it really kind of, what does that mean? Well, it kind of equals baseball being by far the best boys sport in the SVC. I just don't even know how you debate that when you look over the last 20, 25 years of what the programs and the depth of teams have accomplished. And I think where the VA plays a great role in this is it really helps with fields. The reason junior high baseball is growing is we no longer have to pray for perfect weather on 3, 4, 5 Sunday afternoons. You know, the VA is offering these kids an opportunity. I think, man, I want to say they bring a morning, afternoon, and evening doubleheader of junior high teams out there to get them involved. So if you get rain and different things there, they can work around that. I know they're allowing junior high teams to play there throughout the week. And now some will say, I'll make them earn their keep and let more high school teams. It's keeping high school teams from going on. You know, I look at it as a great opportunity to sell the game. A lot of times the younger kids almost appreciate it more. They're more in awe of the place and the excitement there. I think it's really helped grow the game. I mean, if we can get to the point where our junior high teams, instead of just getting maybe 6, 7, 8 games in, are now getting 15, 16, 17 games, we're only going to develop more pitching. We're only going to develop more catching. Remember, we had an email there 2, 3 weeks ago about how, you know, getting more kids involved in catching and so forth, save arms. And so that's where that comes from, is more game opportunity. So I think it's great. I'm excited about it, and I certainly appreciate what the VA has done. In fact, I think it opens up a discussion of, what can we do as we get more familiar with some of this field turf to maybe make some of our other facilities around Chillicothe like that? Not necessarily the high school fields, because that funding would be incredible, but, you know, some of the Legion Ball, some of our city park, some of those different things. I think there are some opportunities there that we could even do more things to really generate an excitement of baseball throughout our area.
I think that any time a junior high kid, I mean, any kid can play at the VA, they're more excited about it, don't you think? And I mean, that would just, you know, if they have that prospect of, mm-hmm. I'm going to join the team, I'm going to get to play at the VA so many games this year, that would just enhance the experience overall.
Well, I think that's where I'm excited as a coach. Now, a lot of administrators, this goes back 4 or 5 years ago. Honestly, it's not as bad now. But when this first got underway, mm-hmm. a lot of administrators were really threatened by junior high baseball because it's a club sport. And it was happening at the high school facilities. And there's a lot of coaching requirements and a lot of liability issues. So they were obviously wanting to push track, because as junior high baseball grows at a smaller school, the track numbers get hurt a little bit. And I get that. I just think that you're right. I think what the VA does so well too, Bruce, for people that aren't familiar, I've been out there with certain levels of junior high baseball teams. Let's say they're not as high level. Mm-hmm. They have some portable backstops. Some portable fences they can bring in so the outfield doesn't become so big that the backstop's not back. Now, today I watched the two top junior high teams in our league play, and it just looked like you would at a high school game. Huh. I mean, if the catcher couldn't drop and block, then he better get up and go chase it back to the long way. Same way in the outfield, you know. But I don't think I saw one inside the park home run today. Those kids sprint in the gap and got the ball back in. I saw a lot of triples. But, you know, when I watched some lower level junior high baseball, I saw a lot of inside the park home runs and different things where outfielders couldn't get to the ball and so forth. So they really have some resources there that set the field up to really make it just a great atmosphere and a real teachable atmosphere for kids to play in.
Well, that's great. We had some other topics we didn't get to last week, so I'm going to kind of fire them at you and see where you
go. Yeah, we better
this.
Because people are getting frustrated with me wondering why their email was skipped.
Okay, well, we'll get to a few here. First one is basketball open gyms and volleyball open gyms for the club and AAU ball.
Well, this is a factor. People ask me all the time, how do you feel as a spring coach, kids going into your basketball open gyms after games, volleyball kids playing 5-6 days and then being gone all day on a Sunday playing club ball? You know, you just, in the perfect world, yeah, they might be a little bit more focused on your sports at times, but you just have to be willing to share. I think open to getting athletes out. You know, the one thing I learned as a young coach a long time ago is, If you don't share the athletes and if you don't encourage kids to get involved in a lot of different things, you're really going to close your numbers off.
Yeah.
And in a small school, you start doing that, you're in trouble. What you want out is you want athletes. You know, if I'm a basketball coach at a small school, I would love to have 2 or 3 kids that just love basketball and go. But on top of that, what I then need are 2, 3, 4 athletes that maybe they just love playing basketball during basketball season. Well, they're obviously going to have some skill sets and some different things that lack, but you can work with that and you can go. You know, oftentimes what happens is you have those 2 or 3 really good players and then you don't have anything to go with them. Yeah. And that's what separates you from being able to compete with some of the top dogs. So I just think it's all part of being able to share the athlete. And in today's modern time, the club, the AAU ball, all those different things are just part of it.
Next topic goes back to the old have a clue blue type of subject. Umpires. Should baseball umpires make more money given the time of game?
Yeah, I mean, I certainly think that's a legitimate question, and I would probably be open to saying yes. I'd probably have to look at some of the details and see what it looks like a little bit more. I think what's happening, though, in baseball, we just went over all the things that were right about baseball right. In this area.
Yeah.
Well, unfortunately, the umpires is one place where we're slipping. Not that the ones we have are doing a bad job. It's that we don't have enough of them.
Uh-huh.
It's a situation where the assigner process – in a lot of ways, maybe not be working, but in a lot of ways, it's probably not all fair. You know, I don't know exactly what the assigner has to work with because, you know, yeah, you have a couple cancellations in basketball or a football game might go through some lightning or whatnot, Bruce. But let's be honest. I mean, you can basically get your football crews a year or two in advance if you want to, where you know, hey, these 10 Friday nights we're playing. Baseball's not like that. I mean, you could say, hey, we have umpires for Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and that might be worthless.
Yeah.
I mean, it might start rated and you don't know, and all of a sudden, I mean, We've come across all sorts of issues. So, and I guess the reason this comes up is this has been asked. They've asked umpires, well, why are you doing this? And the umpires will just tell you, look, we can get our baseball or we can get our softball. We can get out of our car and we can spend sometimes 3 hours. If you get the wrong JV matchup on a Wednesday night, you could be there for 3 hours where, you know, you can go out to an SVC varsity softball game with two good pitchers on the mound. You could literally, you know, be done in an hour and 20 minutes. Chris Medved and I were laughing the other night on the bus. They don't warm up. it's amazing. I mean, softball teams get off the bus. They play a little catch. The pitcher takes a couple tosses in there and all right, play ball. I mean, they say they might line up single file, take a couple ground balls. I mean, it literally takes baseball usually 35, 40, 45 minutes to get ready to play. Yeah. If you have a busing situation, you may not start till 5:20. I mean, those things don't happen in softball. So it's a fair discussion. I'll put it that way. It's something that I would at least be open-minded to looking at. I don't know exactly what the correct answer is. I don't know if the SVC couldn't reach out to certain crews and say, look, if we promise you X amount of dollars, will you lock in with our conference and make sure even on rescheduling that you work for us? Mm-hmm. I don't know if there's enough games to make it worthwhile their schedule to do that, but that would be, that would certainly be an interesting topic to maybe get some ADs together and then go to some umpires and get some feedback as well. So maybe that's something I'll look into for future shows.
I know a year ago or when we had Jeremy Ward with us and we were talking mm-hmm. in basketball about how I think there was some talk about how there weren't as many referees coming up into the basketball ranks. Is that true with umpires as well?
Well, I think so. I really do. And I think, again, the ones that are starting to look at what are some of the easier things to do. Maybe yeah. softball, maybe volleyball. I'm hearing that a little bit. People are saying track the same way. It's much easier just to get on a track crew to where you don't have as much of a responsibility. You have less fan feedback.
Yeah.
You're not right positive, there. Negative. That's probably a fair point. And there's also another factor out there that I'll be honest, I'm not quite smart enough to comment on. I have to educate myself on. But there's some different factors in terms of the way some of the money is being paid out to them and in the way they have to go about bringing the money in, claiming taxes, all those different things, that's hurting them a little bit too. Again, I'm not quite educated enough on that to comment exactly, but I know that's been something that's really discouraged umpires. Cause let's face it. I mean, if you're a high school umpire, that's probably your, you know, second or in some cases third or fourth yeah. little side job, you know, that you just do because again, you kind of like to be around the game.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, one other topic here we're going to get to, and that is the infamous golf swing versus the baseball swing, and do the two interact or do they affect one another and so forth?
It's ridiculous. No, I don't buy that at all. I mean, as a baseball coach, I enjoy some golf. I mean, I had a kid, you know, talk to me about, well, I made out golf. That's ridiculous. I mean, I guess the word work is what comes back to my mind. Are you getting your soft toss in? Are you getting your tee work in? Are you getting your extra cuts? When we break the huddle, are you the first to run to the car? Or are you the first to ask coach, hey, can I get a few more reps here? You know what I mean? It's one of those things. It's like, why are kids the best free throw shooters, Bruce? Well, because they grow up and in the off season or in open gym or on the side, they're the ones you see in the gym. They're the ones you have to kick out of the gym because they're in there shooting 100 extra free throws. It's like anything, really. I mean, you know, why are the golfers, why are certain people the best putters? Well, because again, it's hours and hours of putt. I mean, it's work. So a lot of times from the coaching perspective, it really becomes an excuse. I mean, it really does. I mean, I'm sure if you really want to get technical that there are some things that don't match up that might hurt you a little bit. But if I go out and play 18 holes of golf as a high school baseball player or softball player, you know, and I come into baseball practice the next day, I'm not focused in very well on my reps of getting my 100, 150 cuts there at practice through my station work of soft toss to right field, soft toss to left field, off the tee doing the same, extra cuts, getting, you know, I just, I, I don't buy it. Maybe someone a heck of a lot smarter than me could email in and let me know.
Well, the email address, folks, is admin1@svcsportszone.com. Hey, I want to mention as we close out episode 157 here that to maximize our coverage for the remaining shows, we've only got one more. We're going to take next week off and bring you show 158. Episode 158 on Monday, May 16th, a little further down the pike. And so track, softball, and baseball will be further down the pike, I should say. And so we will be off next week, not publishing a show next week. You can go back and, of course, listen to any of our shows to fill that void if you'd just like to listen about to discussion on SVC sports and other sports content. Or if you just have a desire to hear Shane's voice, you're welcome to do that. You can also, I want to mention, just came to me, Shane, I've kind of been bad about this, but you can subscribe. And there are, by subscribing, there are a couple ways you can do that. You can go to the posting of the show, and you can do an email subscribe where you'll get an email whenever an episode is published. And then you can also, particularly all you, I'm most familiar with iPhones, you can go on your iPhone, go to the podcast app, search for SVC Sports Talk. You can also search for DBK Media Services, and it'll bring up SVC Sports Talk. You can look at the feed, they call it, the list of shows there. They're available, and you could subscribe, and we would appreciate you subscribing. And if you do so, you can go on iTunes as well and do that, and you can have it delivered to your computer, loaded up automatically, or you can have it on your phone and you can run down the road listening to SVC Sports Talk. Nothing we'd like any better. So I think that's gonna put a capper on this show, episode 158, or I'm sorry, yep. 157.
Fun show. Yeah.
Yep. Till next time, for Triple Crown Family Fun Center in Chillicothe, all the other sponsors on the website, everyone here helping me at DBK Media Services, and of course for Shane Combs, this is Bruce Knox reminding you to keep visiting svcsportszone.com, where we are 100% SVC, 100% of the time.
You've been listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. SVC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Family Fun Center. Join us next time for the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. And visit SVCSportsZone.com, where we're 100% SVC, 100% of the time.